Welcome back. Thanks for being with us here on The Takeaway today. I'm Todd Zwillick, and we're now just 2 weeks out from the Alabama special election between Republican Roy Moore and Democrat Doug Jones. They're competing to fill Jeff Sessions' vacated Senate seat. But a cloud of harassment and assault allegations still hangs over Roy Moore's campaign, with very young women and a child, a girl of 14, at its center.
I have a special concern for protection of young ladies. These allegations are just completely false.
That's Roy Moore defending himself earlier this month to Sean Hannity on Fox News. Now, Moore continued to deny all wrongdoing against teenage women and girls, even as allegations kept coming out following that interview that you just heard a clip of. Today, one sexual harassment law expert says the alleged actions of Roy Moore are an example of why consent laws meant to protect minors from adult predators need to change.
As they're growing, we need to give them decision-making opportunities, but we need to protect them from predators, people who would take advantage of their maturing phase and would get them to consent when they really don't know what's going on.
That's Jennifer Drobeck. She's a professor of sexual harassment law at Indiana University, also author of Sexual Exploitation of Teenagers, Adolescent Development, Discrimination, and Consent Law. And Jennifer Drobeck says that changing consent laws could protect teens legally and could keep men from going after them in the first place.
Consent laws specify an age at which a juvenile can consent legally to sex with another person. And a lot of these laws, well, they vary in the age range that they set depending on the behavior, depending on who the partner is, whether that person is an adult and a teacher, whether or not there's an age difference between the two parties. So there's a great deal of variety between these state laws. My point is that the brain science, neuroscience, and psychosocial evidence tells us that juvenile brains are not the same as adults. And while they can make decisions similar to adults in cool, calm, regulated situations, when they're in hot situations, situations that are new, that they haven't encountered before, they tend to make decisions differently than do adults, and they tend to favor risk and short-term reward over long-term consequences. And this can be really dangerous for teenagers when it comes to a decision to have sexual relations with an adult.
So talk a little bit more about the brain science, about the neuroscience here of the teenage brain, and how that informs the way you think consent laws need to change.
We know that the brain undergoes a massive blooming of gray matter cells at puberty. And these cells perform a variety of functions, but the brain tends to develop beginning in puberty from the back of the brain to the front of the brain and reorganizes itself, if you will. And the front of the brain, the area that comes online latest, that's the prefrontal cortex. That's the area of sober second thought and the area of decision making. And so just when we're saying that these teens are ready to consent to sex, their brains are rewiring, if you will. So there are two different kinds of consent. There's actual consent and legal consent. Actual consent is when you nod and say yes. Legal consent presumes legal capacity, an ability to understand the nature, the extent, and the results of your behavior. And so part of the argument is that because these teen brains are developing, they may not be giving legal consent, even though the law says they may have legal capacity.
Well, Jennifer, in this critique of consent and legal consent on the part of minors, even adolescents, you talk about a new standard. You call it assent, which is different from consent. Explain what you think assent should mean in this context.
Assent means that a minor agrees to something, goes along with something. But assent does not carry a presumption of legal capacity. And the beauty of this idea is it's not really new. It's paralleled to current contract law, which has been in effect for hundreds of years. And that is, juveniles can make contracts, but contracts are voidable by the minors. So in essence, the minors are giving assent. But if they discover that someone's taken advantage of them, they can void their assent, and they can basically undo the contract without consequences. So what I'm suggesting is that we borrow from traditional contract law and say minors can assent to sex with an adult, but during their minority, that is while they're still a child or a teen, they can withdraw the consent, which means that the adult risks prosecution for statutory rape. So that causes a chill. It basically says to that 28-year-old, do you really want to have sex with someone who's still a legal minor? So instead of telling the children to just say no, I'm telling the adults, just say no. And in fact, it's not even a no, it's a wait. Wait a couple of years until she's an adult. You don't have to be having sex with a child or someone whose brain is still developing.
A lot of people might look at this proposal and say, why not simply raise the age of consent itself, or maybe lower the age of the person who can legally have sex with someone under a certain age? For instance, 32 is not allowed, 22 maybe would be allowed. Can you narrow the age gap between the two parties and potentially reduce the chances of coercion?
That's a possibility, but here's my concern. I don't want to sweep in Romeo and Juliet or Romeo and Romeo high school lovers into this legal net. Children need maturing experiences. And as human beings, we're born sexual beings. And so it's natural for us in age-appropriate ways to explore our sexuality. And my concern with raising the age of consent across the board without any kind of nuance is that we deny children the opportunity to explore their own sexuality with their peers in age-appropriate ways because they fear risk of prosecution because of these high age of consent laws.
Jennifer, let's step outside the law for one moment and talk about the culture. When you look at the case of Roy Moore and his alleged behavior with a 14-year-old girl when he was 32, a lot of this is politics, and I get that. But in the aftermath, you've seen a lot of people, friends of his in Alabama, say, even if this is true, I have no problem with this behavior. Roy Moore did nothing wrong. When you hear people say that, what do you think?
I wonder how they would feel if it were their daughter that was groped or molested by an adult male, who's charged with being an officer of the court and upholding the law, how they would feel if it were their sister or their mother. I just don't understand this. It's a job of every parent to guide, inform, and protect our children. And if it's true that Roy Moore molested a 14-year-old, not only is he a pedophile, but he also, at that time, broke the law because the age of consent in Alabama is 16. And that's a serious concern if this is someone who is charged with upholding the law, has sworn an oath to do that, and is now running for Senate. I find that shocking.
Jennifer Drobak is professor of sexual harassment law at Indiana University and author of Sexual Exploitation of Teenagers, Adolescent Development, Discrimination, and Consent Law. Professor Drobak, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.